The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Excuse me. So I'd like you all to think for a moment of all the images that come to your mind when you hear the word heaven. What images come to your mind when you hear the word heaven? If you're anything like me, I would imagine that most of you conjured up visions of pearly gates and singing angels and glorious beauty. Now, I hate to disappoint us, but truthfully, those iconic visions of heaven aren't actually very biblical. Jesus never told us that someday all these crazy days of life would be replaced by streets paved with gold, with chairs of clouds, with harps serenading our daily walks. He never said we'd be flanked by angels or forced to wear white robes and halos for all of eternity. He never even said that heaven was a place far, far away that was saved for us someday after we've died. Actually, most of what we consider to be heavenly came to us from the pens of poets and writers, from those who wrote about the fireness of hell and wanted a beautiful, serene picture of the opposite. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with these images, but the more we get to know Jesus, the more he challenges all of our deeply held assumptions. You remember your high school English class when you learned the basics of language? And instead of saying, the bear is big, you'd have to make up metaphors and similes. The bear is as tall as the tree in which it stands. Instead of saying, she has blue eyes, you'd say her eyes are like the color of a sunlit sky. You take something seemingly difficult to describe, and by comparing it to something more familiar, you'd get a little bit more of an understanding of what it was truly like. Jesus did the same thing. The kingdom of heaven, my friends, is like a wedding feast. The kingdom of heaven is like a vineyard, like a mustard seed, like yeast, like finding a pearl, like buried treasure, like casting a net. Jesus had the kingdom of heaven within his very soul, and yet even he couldn't easily explain it. In seminary, our preaching professors always said that a good preacher will show the gospel and not just tell you about it. Jesus was a good preacher. Instead of telling us exactly what the kingdom of heaven is like, He wove stories about mustard seeds blooming and farmers finding treasures and merchants discovering the most perfect of jewels. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. There isn't a single mention of streets of gold or pearly gates or even days filled with peace and harmony. What there is these ordinary, normal, mundane things, and also these wonderful, amazing treasures we would do anything to keep our hands on. What there is a world where the holy things that we hold dear are made known in what sits right in front of us. My absolute favorite preacher wrote that the striking thing about all these images is their essential hiddenness. The mustard seed hidden in the ground, the yeast hidden in the dough, the treasure hidden in the field, the pearl hidden among all the other pearls, the net hidden in the depths of the sea. If the kingdom of heaven is like these, then it's not something readily apparent to the eye, but something that must be searched for, and something just below the surface of things waiting to be discovered or claimed. Now, I'm not the most observant of souls, and I lose things a lot, often finding myself frantically looking around the house for what's gone missing. And more often than not, Steve will walk up and hand me my keys and say, "If it were a bear, it would have bit ya. If it were a bear, it would have bit ya." I can't say it as good as you do. I wonder if that's a little bit what Jesus is talking about here. If it were a bear, the kingdom of heaven would have bit ya. Look right here in front of you. This is the kingdom where God's reign begins. In that ordinary, mundane life that you lead, in the bread dough that you squish around on the counter, in the seeds that you plant that bring forth vegetables for your dinner and flowers for your table, in the smile that breaks forth from a child who hasn't seen his mommy in hours. Right in front of you, the kingdom begins. And no, it's not fully here. Jesus knew that. There's this in-between time, the time between when the seed is planted and grows into a full plant, the time between the discovering of the treasure and selling all you have to possess it. There will be a time when the kingdom, when heaven is fully here. But just because we don't see yet all of heaven's fullness doesn't mean it's not already here. It's like a pregnancy. A woman isn't kind of pregnant, but there is a beginning and then a magical moment when that baby enters the world. And in the meantime, there's this expectant waiting. There's nurturing and growth. There are glimpses that the little person kicking you inside will be the same one that you hold in your arms. Heaven is not known in grand and lofty ways, but in ordinary holy ones, in simple seeds and fields, with men and women, with bread and pearls and joy. So when you want to look for God, when you want to find Jesus, when you long for heaven, quit looking up at the sky. Instead, look down at the soil between your toes, the bread between your fingers, the laughter serenading your days. And walk down the dirty paths of this earth, knowing that the kingdom of heaven is exactly where you stand. Amen.